I'd like to thank you this morning for being here.
I want to talk to you today about the Beatitudes, not just Beatitudes, but Beatitudes. How can I be more like Jesus Christ? How many of you want to do that? Amen. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, I want to be like Jesus? There you go. See, that's beautiful. Okay, God's prescription for emotional health. And what I want to do with you is I'd like to have us climb a ladder, and I want to show you how the eight Beatitudes are ladder climbing in your spiritual life. So we're going to do that now. Number one, the first step in our walk with God is humility. Unless you're a humble person, you're not going to walk with the Lord. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 5:3. And the second step in this walk with God has to do with penitence. I am not only humble, but I am sorry. So blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And the next, meekness, making birth of a new spring. I love that. Marking the birth of a new spring, a new beginning in my life. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit what? Listen, look at me carefully. Unless our attitude of Christ-likeness pervades everything we do, and we are calm in spirit, and we're meek and lovely to be around, you will have nobody around you. If we are going to attract unchurched people, people who do not know God, we need a meekness, a humbleness. Next, spiritual appetite. Are you hungry for God? Do you go to sleep at night studying the Word of God? Do you wake up with the first thing in your heart that says to you, I need Jesus? How many of you would say amen to that? I need Christ in my life. So that's spiritual appetite. And if you have not arrived there, you may be way back toward being humble. But this is a walk. It's a step. And then mercifulness, an attribute of God that indicates further advancement. And by the way, mercifulness means you cannot stand around and watch someone else be hurt. Now look at me a moment. Grace is God giving you what you do not deserve. Mercy is God withholding from you what you do deserve. And they go hand in hand, grace and mercy. The sixth step is purity of heart, making the attainment of a higher attitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, so they shall see God. Seventh step, peacemaking. Oh, I love to be around peacemakers. I love to be around them. Christ-like influence. They calm the storms of life. They put an arm around you and they say to you, Larry, it's going to get better. You may have malaria now, but things are going to get better. You may be going through those storms of life that unsettle your life. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know your physical storms, your spiritual storms, mental storms that ransack your life. They ravage your heart. And you get around people who help you. They are peacemakers and they say to you, this will not last forever, but eternity will. And number eight, the summit. When you suffer for Christ, you're at the summit. You'll stand beside the prophets and the martyrs. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Today I want to look about happy are the meek. They will inherit the earth. The word meek has lost its meaning. It does not mean what it used to mean. Today it's a slur. If you call a man meek, he's insulted. You don't put it on your resume. What do you think of when you think of meek? We say meek as a mouse. A lady said to her husband, are you a man or a mouse? Squeak up. What is meekness? What is meekness? Blessed are you when people insult and persecute you, falsely say all things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. All right, what is meekness? Meekness is not weakness. Are you with me? Say it with me. Meekness is not weakness. In fact, it's powerful. Powerful people are meek people. Meekness is not weakness. There are only two men in the Bible called meek, Jesus and Moses. Neither of them were pushovers. And by the way, I was reading what Ellen White said. I can find a little statement I put aside that was so good on the life of Moses. She says that Zipporah
was a humble, meek woman. And you know the story, Miriam and Aaron were jealous. And God struck Miriam with leprosy. Remember that? God said, this is my man. And yet Moses was so meek. I mean, tell me this. Could you stand by with the Israelites for 40 years wandering in the wilderness, listening to them complain every day, every night? Thousands of people, you brought us out here to die. Oh, for the leeks, the garlic, and the onions of Egypt. If it was so good, why don't you go back? He was meek. He was humble. Jesus was meek and humble. Meekness is not weakness. It is strength under control. That's what it is. Strength under control. The Greek word referred to a wild horse tamed, or medicine that could tame a fever. Strength under control. A horse that's been tamed. I had a bright idea one day at my grandfather's home to ride a thoroughbred horse. Well, it didn't last long. I was on and I was off. And obviously the horse didn't like me for some reason. Like people, he didn't like me. And he bucked me off and I held my arm out straight. And that was a bad thing. Don't do that. If you fall off a horse, you fall 8 feet down, you hold your hand out and your hand here. That's not good. It would be better to fall on your head probably. But to this day, you know, I had terrible times with my shoulder on the right side. And I learned one thing. Make sure the horse knows you before you try to say, giddy up, go. He may giddy up and go in the wrong direction. So meekness is strength under control. There's a real story about a Hell's Angels group. I want you to hear this. They walked into a restaurant and there was a truck driver sitting over in the corner of the restaurant eating eggs, hash browns, and toast. One of the Hell's Angels walked over to him, picked up his breakfast plate, and smashed it over the driver's head, poured it over his head, watched the potatoes run down. He took the guy's drink and poured it in his lap. The truck driver didn't say a thing. He got up, he paid his bill, and he walked out. One of these Hell's Angels looked over at the bartender and said, not much of a man, is he? And the bartender said, no, not much of a driver either. He just drove over 12 choppers. Drove over them, flattened them out. Say, God is amazing. Would you say amen to that? God is amazing. Meekness is strength under control. I'm going to give you some ways that I want you to look at. These are not just little notes I put together. I live in the Word of God. I want to make it real. I was reading late last night what Sister White said about 1888. My thoughts from prayer meeting were really prompted, so I read completely through. She said that there were strong-willed people after 1888 that kept Christ our righteousness from coming to the people. Strong-willed. Uriah Smith was one. G.I. Butler, who was president of the G.C., went to Florida and exempted himself. And he said, I'm going to stay down here. And Ellen White said, stay there. I think you'll do us a favor. Don't bother coming. We don't need you. And she went through a terrible time from 1888 to 1890s. And finally, they shipped her off to Australia. But she said this, I will not rail against my brethren. Instead of talking about them, she sent letters to them. I pray for you. And then I learned after reading her letters. I have copies of her letters. Oh, my dear brother, how much I love you. Oh, she wrote to Uriah Smith, you were like a son to me, Uriah. How can you discount the visions that God has given me and say you don't believe anymore? You've been a leader in the church. You're affecting other people. She was so meek, but so powerful. In Philippians chapter 2, we read, when do I need to control my reactions? When someone serves you, be what? Understanding. That's right. And not demanding. Be understanding and not demanding. You know why? We're all different. Let me say something to you. There's no hidden agenda in this. There is no hidden comment in this. I want you to know something. Dr. Luke is a doctor. Dr. Mark is a doctor. Dr. Luke and I are not the same. Our temperaments are not the same. Do I love him? I love him like a brother. But we're not the same. Every one of us is different. Would you agree with that? So take that into consideration when you're talking to another person. Understand they may not see things the way you do. Be understanding, not demanding. Now, Philippians 2, verses 4 and 5. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but for the interest of others. I'm abbreviating. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. Listen to Mount of Blessing, page 30. It's beautiful.
He who beholds Christ, we're going to read it together, in self-denial, his lowliness of heart, will be constrained to say with Daniel, my comeliness was turned into corruption. The independence and self-supremacy in which we glory are seen in their true vileness as tokens of servitude to who? To who? Okay, you got it. Now listen to this. Human nature is ever struggling for expression, ready for contest. But he who learns of Christ is emptied of self, of pride, of love of supremacy, and there is silence in the soul. I want to start right here. Take your right hand, put it on your heart. Now I want you to do this. Say, here, Jesus. There you go. You just gave your heart to Jesus Christ. I didn't, you did. I gave mine, but you did too. Now listen to the next part of this. Self is yielded to the disposal of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I want that when we are not anxious to have the highest place. You can always tell that if you're in a group and one person keeps speaking. It probably growing up, dad never said you did a good job or mom never did. They want to be heard. I know I have a big mouth. I know that. But I try to keep it under control, knowing I'm talking about Jesus. Now listen, we have no ambition to crowd and elbow ourselves into notice, but we feel that our highest place is at the feet of our Savior. We look to Jesus, waiting for his hand to lead, listening to his voice to guide. Mount of Blessings, page 30. Oh, I love that. How many of you like that? Okay. The secret of great service is to treat people with respect. Americans have a reputation overseas of being pushy, rude, demanding, and not understanding. They do. I was in Germany for 3 years, and they're not crazy over Americans, believe me. Okay, number two. When somebody disappoints you, be gentle, not judgmental. Oh, I like this play on words. Be gentle, not judgmental. Be gentle, not judgmental. Is there anyone here who ever met Paul Nelson before he passed away? Well, I'm sure hope you haven't met him since he's passed away, but Paul Nelson invited me to be the speaker for pastors. I used to travel all over the United States speaking to pastors about leadership and spiritual gifts and different things. And we had just written a family seminar, my wife and I, and he invited me to go to Idaho to their meeting up there for the pastors in February. And I remember walking up to the youth building at the Idaho Conference Youth Center, right on the lake, and here he was. I said, what is the matter with this man? Who is he first? And he kept doing this. Oh, my brother Gale, we are so privileged to have you here. Can I give you a hug? And he came over and hugged me and he took my hand and I said, this is strange. So I had the meeting and when the weekend was over, he said, I can't take you back. I have other meetings. I knew by then he was a president. He said, but it's been so kind of you to come. And you know what I thought? I want to be around this man. This man is, he's attractive. He attracts. And I asked ministers in the conference about him. Well, what do you think? They said he's the greatest president we've ever had. And then I asked, is this the real deal? Oh, yes. He came from the mission field. This is the real deal. This is Paul. Paul couldn't talk about a garbage collector, collecting garbage the wrong way. He was so gentle. Do you know people who are gentle are giants? Did you hear that? Romans chapter 14 verse 1 says this, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. In other words, be gentle. Happiness comes when you accept people who have not attained your level of perfection. Do you agree with that? They don't have to reach up to your standards to be loved. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 and verse 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. How do you react when somebody messes with your life? Do you say, I told you so? I could see it coming. Meekness occurs when people disappoint you and you are gentle and not judgmental. The one thing that angered Jesus most was a self-righteous religious people who were always judging other people by what they wore and what they ate. I am so tired of that. Are you? I am. It is not biblical. Nowhere. You know something? I took my Bible one day and I went to look and find out if God ever said we are to monitor the behavior of each other by checking out what we wear or what we eat. And I found it nowhere. Well, why do we do that? Why is it our young people leave? They don't want to hear it anymore. Judgmentalism will kill a church. Do you agree with that? It will. And by the way, it'll kill a relationship you have with your spouse. I remember one family, every word that came out of the husband's wife is, I tell you all the time, I never, be careful about those words, always and never, they're not true. Number one, when you're angry, you exaggerate. So you need to be gentle. Okay. Number three, when someone disagrees with you, be tender without surrender. Be tender without surrender. The fact is that you can't please everybody. I know there are people in this church that don't like me. I'm sure. I haven't asked you, but I'm sure there's somebody that doesn't like me. He's too loud a preacher. He's too enthusiastic. He may be Pentecostal. But maybe he's a Jesuit. Who knows? So you're not going to please everybody. I'm not going to please everybody. And you know something? I'm here to please Jesus Christ. And when God is done with me with Sutherland, he's going to move me on somewhere else. When I retire, I'm going to plant a church. I am going to plant a church wherever I am, and it's going to be filled with young people. And it's going to be called a church without walls. That's what I'm going to do. It'll be Seventh-day Adventist, but it's going to be a church without walls. Would to the Lord that we would love one another enough to say, I will die for you. Then I can go ahead and instruct you. That's what Sister White says. The fact is, you can't please everybody. And about the time you get crowd A satisfied, guess what happens with crowd B? They're unhappy. Listen, one minute you're a hero, the next minute you're a zero. You need to learn to be tender without surrender. And the test of maturity is, how do you handle disagreeable people? How do you handle people who disagree with you? How do you handle them? I'm going to give you three alternatives. Number one, you can retreat in fear. You can do that. I'm not going to be around this person. They're too disagreeable. I'm afraid of being around them. I don't know what they're going to say to me, and I don't want to be hurt. I've been hurt my whole life. I'm not going to put myself in this position. I would rather stay home and watch 3ABN. I'm not going to do that. Please, by the way, do not stay home and watch 3ABN. Number one, you got a good thing going at Sutherland. Why would you want to stay home and watch TV you watch all week? Secondly, you can attack and anger. You know what happens with that is that if you give everybody a piece of your mind, you do not have much left to give. Or you can respond in love. I remember this man. Oh, he was the most unlovely man. He was the most unlovely man. He was a young man in ministry. And a woman 100 years old said to him one day, you need Jesus. You're a strong preacher. Now you need Jesus. Well, I've come a long way since then. I haven't arrived, but I'm striving toward the mark. You can be tender without surrender. It's not being passive. It's not being a doormat. That's not meekness. That's weakness. It's also not reacting in anger. If someone disagrees with you, you blow them away. Some people use verbal overkill. Everything is win-lose, win-lose. General George Patton, and this is great, if you've ever seen the movie Patton, you ought to see it, said, here's what he said. He had a lot of one-liners in his book, and he says, never fight a battle where winning doesn't make a difference. Are you with me? Don't fight a battle. Don't get into an argument over something that doesn't matter anyway. Why try to win a battle when you win the battle, you've won nothing? There, now you know how I feel. How do you feel now? Well, you won the battle, and it doesn't make any difference to me. Because it never was an issue. Oh, my. Proverbs 15:1 tells us, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Oh, that is so true. My daughter and I pray every day. That is, until the time change, I said, do not call me before the sun is even up. Please. I'm a late sleeper. I go to bed late at night. But up until the time change, she called every single day and we prayed. And there was a person that was really giving her some grief. And I said, just love her to death. Oh, my, did that work. Oh, it worked. Listen, James 3:16-17 says, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." I love that. Meekness and gentleness means strength under control. An argumentative spirit indicates an ego problem. And if you like to quarrel, you've got an ego problem. And by the way, an ego problem is edging God out. Ego, edging God out. Jesus said the person who is meek is happy because he's tender without surrender. Meekness is learning to disagree agreeably. You can tell a person, "I don't happen to see it the way you do." It's being able to walk hand in hand and not seeing eye to eye. Are you with me so far? Can you agree with what I've said? I can walk hand in hand with you and not see eye to eye. And by the way, are there people in your life that you cannot stand to be around? There are. When they're walking down the street, before they see you, of course. Yes, I understand that. You walk to the other side of the street and you hide between the stores so they don't see you. Because you know if they see you, they're probably going to want to talk for an hour and you only have 10 minutes. What would it be like if you walked up to them and said, "Sister, I'm so glad to see you today. And if I don't see you again, God bless you. I'm on my way." You can walk hand in hand and not see eye to eye. If you cannot do that, get out of the church because it's not going to work for you. In a marriage, when two people, listen to this, agree on everything, one of them isn't necessary. You eat with a knife and what? Not two knives. So if you agree with everything, you're not necessary. When people agree with you, you can be a passive, a doormat. Go ahead, have your way. Or you can fight them tooth and nail, blow up, get angry, fight back, be sarcastic. Or you can respond in love. It's your choice. 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25 says, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient." And verse 25, "In humility, correcting those who are in opposition." And you know what that means? If I'm in a meeting or I'm Bible studying with someone and they say to me something I know is wrong. A couple of weeks ago, I was at a meeting and a woman said to me, "Jesus is going to walk this earth." And I looked at her. "I don't know where you got that from, sister. But it's not this earth. It's the new earth." Did you hear me? I believe that there's a time when you have to say that is not what the Word of God teaches. And you know what I did? Like a wimp, smiled and walked away. I should have said something. And I determined, God spoke to me, I will not do that again. If it is wrong, it is wrong. And I will share it. So be a servant. Maybe God will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. Ellen White was right up front. The Bible says I'm not to argue people. I am to gently instruct in hope that God will give them a change of heart. One author says, "In essentials have unity, in non-essentials have liberty, but in all things have what? Charity." Allow for diversity in a body of Christ because we're all different. We need to learn to be understanding, not demanding with people around us. Gentle, not judgmental with those who let us down. After all, people let you down. They do. I remember I told you a few weeks ago, Judge Judy, I like to watch this woman. She's incredible. She says, "Sir, you're not listening to me. Put on your listening ears." Put on your listening ears. 4, when someone corrects you, be teachable, not unreachable. Teachable, not unreachable. Meekness is a teachable spirit. Meek people are eager to learn. You know, the difference is if I say something to somebody and they argue and banter back and forth with me, we're not going anywhere. It's best to close the conversation. Meek people will say, "Oh, I'd like to know more about that. Please help me with that." Teachable, not unreachable. I remember a man I was studying with one day and I said, the word in Latin for excuse means something valid, not something you make up. That's a hurdle you just need to get over. And he said, "Well, I'm not making excuses." I said, "My brother, you are. Why don't you just accept Jesus Christ and the truth of God? We have been studying for weeks. He finally said, I'm not going to fight anymore. I agree. He wasn't fighting with me. Who was he fighting with? He was fighting with God. James 1:19. So then, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. If you're quick to listen, slow to speak, you will be slow to anger. But if you're slow to listen, quick to speak, you'll be quick to anger. So you need to listen. When your mate makes a constructive suggestion to you, how do you respond to it? Do you get uptight? Do you get defensive? Meek people don't have all the answers. Be wary of people who have all the answers. Are you open or closed to new ideas? You know, we've always done it this way. That's the way I'm going to do it. Will Rogers said, I never met a man I didn't like. We've all had different experiences. Everyone is ignorant, just on different subjects. The problem is they don't admit they're ignorant. We need each other. I don't know why the church, this church should be full. Can I talk to you just as a pastor for a minute? I can't believe this Sutherland is not full because the Holy Spirit's here. You know what happens? We give excuses. Well, I've got this. I've got that. I can't do this. I can't do that. And by the time you're done, you begin to compromise in your own faith, and you don't know it, but you're laying a plank in front of yourself that you are climbing to destruction because you make one excuse after another, after another, after another, and you don't grow, and you wake up one day saying, what happened to my spiritual life? Well, you stopped attending church. You stopped praying. You stopped Bible studying, and here you are. You have nothing left. You need each other. You do. You need each other. I need my wife, I can tell you that. And once in a while, she tells me that I need her. Not often, but once in a while. She doesn't have to. Proverbs says, counsel in the heart of a man is like a deep well, but the man of understanding will draw it out. That's why I love to ask questions. That's why I went to Florida to ask Bob about his life. I love old people. I love older people. They're a fount of wisdom. Have you learned to learn from your kids? Have you learned to learn from your kids? You can learn from your kids. Do you know that you can even learn from your in-laws? Unless they're outlaws. You can learn from your enemies. Maybe you know what not to do. Your biggest critics often help you out the most. They may mean to hurt you, but God uses the criticism to teach you and make you more sensitive in certain areas. Even though they have the wrong motive, God uses it. Meekness means we're teachable and not unreachable. Proverbs 13:18 says, poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored. By the way, I'm reading the Word of God to you. I may not be opening this, but I'm reading the Word of God to you, and you're reading it when you see it up here. A meek person is not a wimp. A meek person is understanding, not demanding, gentle, not judgmental, teachable, not unreachable. And number five, when somebody hurts you, be an actor, not a reactor. An actor and not a reactor. Romans 12:17-21. Turn to Romans 12 just for a moment. I want you to see something. Romans chapter 12. I gave my Bible prayer meeting night to somebody. I said, hold my Bible. And I just held it out. Hold it. I went to the bookstore one day to buy a new Bible, and the lady said, oh yeah, we have Nelson New King James. She said, let me see your Bible. Why is this Bible so heavy? I said, well, if you were written in as much of this Bible as you'd be heavy too. Mark your Bible. Say amen to that. Romans 12. I want you to see verse 1 first. Listen to this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Sounds like the Old Testament sanctuary service. A sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your, what does your Bible say now? Reasonable act of worship or reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your what? The word used in the Greek is metamorpho. Metamorphosis, from a caterpillar to a butterfly, changed. I thought you were like this. I remember reading this story of a woman who married a man that used to go drinking and dancing every Friday night. He became a believer. She said, I've already made our reservations. And he said, I no longer want to go. I don't drink anymore. Do you know that their whole life split apart? She said, something's happened to you. And what had happened to him is that he had become a born-again Christian. And she could not live with him having a different mindset entirely. He was born again. She was not. And then we pick up those verses very carefully in Romans chapter 12, verse 17 and 21. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And then verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I love that. I love that. It's a fact of life is that if you're going to be meek, you're going to be hurt. Life hurts. It does. It hurts. You'll be hurt by people and sometimes intentionally. John Powell in his book, Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am, said he was walking down the street with a friend and they stopped to get a paper. The man selling the paper was grumpy, discourteous, rude. The friend, as he was walking away, said to the man, you have a nice day now, sir. John Powell asked his friend, is that man always rude to you? Oh, yes. He has been for years. Are you always that nice to him? Yes, yes. I'm not going to let that man ruin my day. Booker T. Washington said, the great black scientist faced prejudice his whole life, and he said, I will never allow another man to control and ruin my life by making me hate him. When you say, you make me mad, you're admitting that they are controlling your emotions. You make me mad. If you say, when these things are said, I'm upset, that's a little different. One of the clearest examples in the Bible of meekness is Moses in Numbers chapter 12. One of the clearest examples. Proverbs 16:32 says this, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. I love that. What determines your emotions? Your emotions are either controlled by circumstances or character. It's your choice. That makes me mad, or that makes me sad. Circumstances are controlling how you feel. I choose to be happy. I choose to not be depressed. Happiness is a choice because it's based on the Word of God. Your emotions are either controlled by circumstances or your choice. Meek people are self-controlled, controlling their reactions toward life. Jesus says, happy are people who can control their reactions, for they will inherit the earth. What does inherit the earth mean? You'll be in control of the situation. The world is yours. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Let's read it together. But a power, love, and a sound mind. Okay, listen to this. In his book, Experiencing God, Henry Blackaby uses an illustration, and it blew me away when I read it. I read all the time, and I read this, and I said, oh, Lord, this is good. That demonstrates how God purposes to accomplish his will within us. He suggests that there are two ways a person can reach a destination to which he has never been. Are you with me so far in this? He can ask directions from a friend who's been there. That friend can draw him a map that clearly shows how to reach the destination. That method may work, assuming the driver knows how to read the map. I can't even read a map sometimes. I don't know about you other guys. Here's the last part. However, there's a second way, and this is so good. Listen to this. And it's absolutely guaranteed that the driver would reach his destination. Instead of asking for a map, he could, as his friend, ask his friend to get into the car with him and direct him as they drove. In that way, the friend would become what? Oh, isn't that good? Jesus, step into my life and be my map. Amen. How many of you like that? What's not to like, right? Would you like to stand with me as we pray this morning? And my prayer is for you that God will bless you. I'm praying for you, dear church. I am. I'm praying for you. Some of you are struggling. Some of you are really dealing with issues in your life right now. And I don't know your life. I don't know your heart. But I know God is going to be with you. I know. I am confident that Jesus Christ is going to finish this well. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving your Son. We'd like to be meek like Jesus, Father. We would love to be like him. To be teachable, not unreachable. Oh, Lord. Sweet Jesus, would you be our map? Would you step into our life to take control of our emotions and lead and guide us. You are such a wonderful Savior. I know you hear it from the lips of thousands, but there is no God like you, Jehovah. You're wonderful. And one day soon, the veil that parts divinity and humanity will be opened as the clouds descend from heaven. And we will be like you, Jesus, for we shall see you as you are. As John says in 1 John 3. And we will go home and live with you forever. And you will be our map throughout eternity as we cling to you. This is our desire, even now today. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you for coming today. May the Lord be with you as you go home.